Domestic Disputes. My name is Russell Hicks.
And my name is Zara Barry.
Oh, right in there.
I know. I normally don't let you do the intro, but I thought, you know what? Feminism.
Good job. Yeah. Wow, great. I mean, way to get in there. Making my job a little easier.
I did a good job, yeah.
Yes, I applaud your, what do they call that? Industriousness? Ingenuity? Doesn't matter. I've already screwed it. All right. Zara, it's been a heck of a week down here at Flat 17.
Don't give out our undisclosed address.
We're Flat 17, all right? So it's a big country. We're down at Flat 17, all right? Now, we often relax, as a lot of couples do, by ending the evening with a little television.
Mm-hmm.
And we were channel surfing the other day. We're surfing. We're just like,
old school.
We're just like, what's on TV? You know? Hey, TV, you tell me for a change, huh?
Yeah.
And what happened was we came across a program that I suppose has a lot of traction with the someone.
Well, it's become a cultural reference point, I think. People talk about it like it's some sort of like age of television, like.
And that program was a mainstream television program, and I stress again, a mainstream television program for our American listeners. You won't believe this is on TV. It's called Naked Attraction.
First of all, I'd already seen it, so I was more surprised that you hadn't seen it, because it's been around for like 5 years. I saw it once when I did a gig in
Glasgow, in a hotel room,
and was very much scarred.
Can we quickly describe the premise of the show for those who don't know?
So Naked Attraction, basically, it's a dating show where the contestants that are winning a date with the woman or the man are naked. But they're not totally naked. Bits of their bodies are revealed slowly on each round. And the person, the data that's choosing.
Let me step in real quick and just let me illustrate what it actually is. Okay, it looks like something that is on Channel 600 in Germany. Okay, people stand in front of, on a set, like a sci-fi set from the 1970s, where men are inside these boxes
or women,
but the one we watched. Oh, lucky us, was men. And it just slowly raises up so that you can see, like...
They do the genitals first.
They do dick and balls first, right? And I'm telling you right now, first of all, I don't understand how this program is, like, with 2021 being what it is, culturally, I don't know how this program is, like... Not getting
body positivity
shouted down, body positivity, and also, I've been on this planet for never you mind, but I was so unbelievable. I was offended.
I've never seen you so offended.
In that moment, I totally understood old people who write letters to networks. Yeah. I was like, I couldn't believe how offended I was.
It was really bad. It is so shocking. And I feel like my main takeaway from it is who is watching it? Because this program has been around for 5 years. I read an article in The Guardian about it. About how to get a show commissioned. They said nobody thought that Naked Attraction was, you know, it sounds mad, but it works. Unlike Sex in a Box, which didn't work.
Oh, that was stupid.
Because there was no sex in it.
Yeah,
because they
cares?
Went in a box, you didn't see the sex. But Naked Attraction is exactly what it says on the tin. You see everything.
They just stand there and they judge their dicks and balls and go, oh no, I like a bit of I'm very specific about balls.
It just made me
who's
think
specific about balls
out of context. Genitals are not sexy, are they?
Well, British dicks
pretty gross.
Are listen, I mean, I'm sorry, but from what I can tell, your dicks, I don't know, man. Yeah. They're a bit alien to me. All right, look like spliffs. They've got this like they look. British penises look like poorly rolled cigars. They look like cheap cigars. I mean, these guys. All I could think when I was looking at the foreskin hanging off it was like, what, like what gets caught in there? I just feel like if the guy gets an erection, like loose change and paper clips are gonna fall out and be like, oh, there's my keys. It was, man,
funnily
dude.
Funnily enough, the grossest one was the biggest one, wasn't it? It was so scary. I still sometimes think of it at night and get quite scared.
I totally recommend any insecure men watch this program because, this guy had a monster cock. And by the way, it's always like the skinny, sort of dopey looking guys who get these just like freak dicks. And yeah, it was, I was like, man, I'm glad I'm not packing that kind of heat because it just looked...
It was very scary.
Awkward. And see, I
had a
bad.
Big eye. The thing that I didn't like about it was it had a massive eye on it. Like it was massive eye. Like it just stayed with me.
Yeah.
In not a good way. And this is why women don't like dick pics.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what... I think that's for the men. I think dick pics are like improv. They're just more fun to do.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like Cambridge Footlights. It's like, yeah, okay, I guess.
Yeah, they're having
more fun. Thank you. Oh, this is for me. Thanks a lot.
They're having more fun making the dick pic than the audience.
Horrendous,
are receiving it.
Horrifying. And I feel bad because like we're judging now. And that's the other thing. It puts you in this.
Yeah.
I don't know who's strong enough. Because I don't know about you, I was already thinking of my body and like, oh my God. And like, I mean, I think we got out of there lucky. Like none of us, we got out of there without any sort of residue insecurities. You know, if anything, we felt, at least they're normal bodies. I will say that. At least they're not putting on this. But you were saying you couldn't believe people like it. And I'm like, well, Love Island's the same thing, except
it's just not
the top half.
It's not, because there's something about seeing so blatantly a woman is choosing her potential boyfriend based solely on his dick.
Come on.
It's so bizarre to me.
No.
I mean, how do you make those sorts of decisions? Because they were all repulsive to me, to be honest.
I mean, if you... put the work in, I do think you could make certain assumptions about their personality.
Really?
Sure. Like, you know, I would say you go for a smaller penis.
Right.
You know, more average. Right?
Because
that guy's had to work on his personality.
It's not the size for me. It's just how it looks. It's more the fact that how it hangs and yeah. You see, this is not good. We're like getting really superficial about it.
I know, it's terrible.
At the end of the day,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. It's kind of a weird hybrid of
because
body, because it kind of makes you feel better about your own body because you're so grossed out.
But
also at the same time, it's completely materialistic because there's people just basically basing their future boyfriend on something so superficial.
But that show doesn't work anyway for girls because, like, once a girl gets to the penis, like, she's crossed the Rubicon anyway. It's like penises are just weird looking. So, you know, personality, you know, makes the penis, I believe, is a phrase. but I'm just saying, like, men, it's more of a male thing to be like, oh, okay. I mean, what can you even say? I don't know.
I found it so funny how the presenter carried on presenting like nothing weird was happening. Like, so are you a fan of the big-eyed penis?
Just.
Or are you more
She
of a-
can't feel that. I mean, they're selling out and they're selling out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That woman is all, I mean, just, how do you sleep at night? I mean, really. Really? Just can you imagine the conversation? I guarantee you,
it's almost like working
she's
in
at a,
porn. Isn't
you'll
it? It's
find
like,
her.
How do you ever have sex ever again?
Oh, who's that in the corner of the Soho House, crying into her? It's the host for Naked Attraction. Literally, can't stand herself because she's what she does for
a
living.
I bet she goes home and she's just wants everything to be in full-on clothes, you know.
Disgusting, huh? Honestly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Zara, people are working from home. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a big thing. People are working from home.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because of what we've been going through. And so that is kind of great, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not ideal. Okay, I'm not Boris Johnson here saying like you got enjoy your holiday, but I'm just saying like there are some perks to working at home that can maybe get you through this.
Work in your pajamas.
Well, hey, you know what? Leave it to customer service jobs or any, you know, call centers to, of course, have to destroy any light at the end of the tunnel. They are, you told me about an article where they are now...
Call center staff are basically, there's a company called Teleperformance. I think they do obviously sales on telecalls, and they are threatening, I don't know if they're actually doing it, they're threatening to put webcams in employers' living rooms to make sure that they are working at a certain rate and not going on their phones and going on Facebook or whatever. And I just think this is terrible. I mean, first of all, how is that legal? How can you put a webcam in someone's home and, or, you know, on the computer or whatever?
Honestly, if you work at one of those places and they're even suggesting it, quit. Quit. And I know what you're saying, but I have kids. Figure it out. Leave. Quit. First of all, what's the point? If you're, this is what, I don't understand why businesses that, like, in the world we live in today, where you've got like Twitter and Google and all these Silicon Valley places being like, you know, hey, like, live in the woods and like whatever, as long as you know, like my friend used to work at Google. They had a room, they had an oxygen room, and they had a room where you could just go play guitar.
Oh yeah,
he had no hours.
They have a slide in the cafe.
He had no hours. It was like, just get your work done.
Yeah.
Why is that so hard to get into their minds?
That annoys me, because it assumes that the worker is not doing any work. All you need to do is basically say, look, you don't put a webcam in your house. What you do is you go, you need to make this many sales a day or whatever, or this many calls a day. And as long as you're doing that, then you can be on your iPhone as much as you want. You can be like, I remember when I was working in an office, all I ever dreamed of when I was working in an office was that my boss didn't see my screen, right? I got all my work done, right? But I pissed about on Facebook. I, you know, did other things that weren't work related. Yeah. I did my Tesco shop. You know, I sent emails to my friends or whatever. But as long as I was getting my work done, what is the problem? And most people in offices are doing that anyway. They are going. I remember one guy, he was reading a Stephen King novel on, he'd somehow managed to find like a PDF document of a Stephen King novel. And he just sat there and read his novel on the computer, and everyone thought he was doing some special like document work or whatever. And it's like, most people in offices are pretending to look busy when they're not actually doing any work. Like, you just need to, businesses just need to know, as long as your employer is performing and getting the work done, what is the problem if they're on Facebook all day?
What's the problem? Because if they found out you were on Facebook, they would probably be like, no, you can't. And it's like, well, I'm getting my stuff done.
Yeah, exactly.
What's issue the problem here?
Yeah.
It's such an old model. I got fired from a job because they caught me. I used to write, this is like 12 years ago, like writing jokes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was like, all right, look.
Didn't they read them as well? That was quite
embarrassing. That was great. Yeah, they brought me into the, like, imagine,
so embarrassing.
If there's any stand-ups out there, imagine free form, subconscious, just like splatter, and they read it to me.
That's so embarrassing. I remember something similar happened to me actually years ago.
Yeah.
They went on my computer and they got up my search history, and then I got back from lunch and they were like, how do you explain this? And I was absolutely mortified.
Oh, what was it?
My search history was like Facebook, 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 Guardian article.
That's not bad.
But it was basically because he asked me to do a specific job in a specific amount of time. And then he basically went on my computer and saw what I had done in that time was not the work that he asked me to do. It was basically Twitter, Facebook.
Did you get the work done?
Funnily enough, it was not a tangible kind of product. It was, he wanted me to promote on Twitter or something, his product. So,
well, you could, yeah.
He goes, we'll just go be on like, Twitter yeah, I was and do on, all this stuff. I basically just went on my own Twitter and did all other stuff.
Honestly, man, like, what is up with jobs? Just like, I could never get that through their heads. I'd be like, look, guys, this job sucks, okay? Stop acting like this. That was my big complaint with customer service and things like that, is like, stop acting like this job doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we just all acknowledge the elephant in the room? This job sucks. I've made a mistake. And so I work for you now. Let's get that straight. So can you just leave me with a shred of my soul, please? And let me, you know, it just give me a metric. But see, that's the thing. In these call centers, they want to squeeze. They like, oh, you made 100 calls. You could have made 200.
Yeah, but I also think it relies on, like, they know that the person at the call center doesn't care about what they're doing in general. So they know that they will slap. I remember working in a call center and my toilet breaks were monitored. I couldn't go to the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
A certain amount of times I couldn't go, and I had to not go for very long, and it was so rigid. And I think that just makes you, when you work in that environment, you don't want to do any work because you're not respected. Like, I think you have to have a certain amount of respect and confidence in your staff that they, if you give them freedom, then they will, I will work harder if someone gives me more freedom. Like when I did work from home for Disney, I think I did more work than I would have done in the office.
Dude, that was, yeah.
You want to make, you love it so much working from home, you don't want them to think that you're taking the piss.
What about these people? Because I remember a long time ago when I had a job, right? Like an office job.
Yeah.
Was like, if you were good, if you did some, you, certain good employees were afforded the ability to work from home.
Yeah.
And some people in my office were allowed to work from home. And they still came in.
Oh my God, I worked with some people that were the same. They were like, I don't like working from home. I get lonely. And I'm like, what? You could like, do your what? Work. You can wake up when you want. You don't have to get the tube. What are you talking about? I just did. It was like, it's wasted on you because I was a freelancer, so I couldn't work from home.
I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I know.
It used to anger me. I'm like, that's, you've been given a gift.
I know.
And you squander it.
I know. I don't
it's
like
offensive
it.
To people like me who would love to be in their pants right now.
You're literally, is that what they call looking a gift horse in the mouth? Or is that another phrase that doesn't relate?
I don't know. Is that looking a gift horse in the mouth? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
It's just so, it just really annoyed me when people would say, it'll I don't bite like ya. Working from home. Some people would say it and I'm like, you're just saying that to look good in front of the boss. Like, yeah. I guess some people do like working in the office because they can see people, but I don't know. I much prefer not seeing people.
Yeah.
Like the office chat in the kitchen with random guy from accounts. I can't do it.
If you need people to be making a certain amount of calls, your product probably sucks and it's outdated because that's just, I can't imagine. I don't know what, who are you calling? I mean... Whatever.
Sort it out.
No webcams in the house, all right? So when we do get out of this, though, Zara.
Yeah.
When the lockdown is over, if it's over, I don't know. I think it's ending. You know, we're going to have to go back out in the world.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to talk to people. And we're going to have to interact with people. This apparently is such a daunting perspective.
Yeah.
A prospect that there's been articles written. I think you saw one. Like
I've seen a few.
You've seen a lot of articles about guides on how to talk to people when you get back into the real world. Also, what to wear and what to eat.
Yeah, I think mainly though it's the talking thing. I think a lot of people are suddenly getting this anxiety about having to hold a conversation. And you know what? me and my friend who lives down the road were talking about this. We were like, we've got nothing to say to people anymore because nothing has happened. There's no gossip. There's no... So like even when I'm on the phone to my mum, it's like they get to a point where there's like there's nothing else to say. So I think people, when they get reinstated back into society, are worried that the conversation is going to go stale. And also I think when you don't talk to people for a while, you do like when I mean, obviously I live with you, but like sometimes when I've had days where maybe you've gone for gigs or something and I've stayed on my own, you forget how to have a conversation because you've spent so many hours on your own and you sort of have to warm up. So these guides were like warming up people, going, right, so when you do get back into society, remember to ask questions. And they were giving like topics to talk about and stuff, you know.
I mean,
it's just so bizarre.
I mean, when is it ever I've always kind of with strangers or your friends is easy.
Yeah, with your friends, but there is a certain part where it's like, yeah, there's nothing else to talk about, you know, because nothing has happened to us.
Yeah, clearly. Hey, well, you know what? Someone should tell the newspaper, here's a guide on how to fill your pages when you have fuck all to say either, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really, are you the people who should be telling us how to fill space? When I went on BBC News yesterday, and your big story was that an 80-year-old woman was attacked by two dogs.
Stop
the press, ladies and gentlemen. What am I supposed to do with that information?
But the news does that anyway. It always does stories that don't need to be. They need to fill space, don't they? But I think with the conversation thing, I think the best advice is just to be patient with each other and know that it's not going to be like fabulous conversation straight away. And also just, you know, enjoy. Just it'll come. You can't. Don't practice into
here's my
the
go-to.
Mirror. You know, like just know that. You know that this conversation might be a bit stunted.
No, here's one I do. This is, listeners of the podcast, you can have this for free. This is one that I do regularly because I think a lot of times when I'm out doing stand-up, you meet people and maybe you don't right off the bat know, you know, whatever. Audience members, I still haven't mastered yet what to say to them. It's always...
Oh, gosh,
it's very strange. I always feel like when they come up to me, they're like, they've just seen The Hulk. Yes. Now they're talking to Bruce Banner. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, audience members slink away from me.
Yeah.
As if I'm contagious.
I'm glad you say that because I think the same thing. They go,
I'm either too funny, like I'm too wacky, like I annoy myself, like I'm doing shtick to them, or I'm too real. You know, and they get horrified by that. I don't know what you people want from me.
They come up to you like they want you to do an extra bit, like a private show to them.
I think, here's what I think.
And then when they realize that's not going to happen, they just go, okay.
I think also what happens is that actually, if I could be more, I've actually come to realize that most of the time they think they're bothering you. I think they kind of think like, okay, I'll leave now. Like, I've talked to you for like, I'll let you do your thing. And it's like, no, I'm like, let's I'm totally fine. Let's wrap.
Oh, okay.
I think
depends
sometimes.
Who it is.
Well, no, there's three different types. There's the people who are just, they come up to you and they just say something mean to you and then just, like, I don't know, or you know what I mean? Or they say you're not funny off stage or something horrendous. And then like, okay, well, let's. Mm. But then there's people who are just having a good conversation and you're just, you don't know what to do, because you ruin it. But anyway,
I think here's most people just want to come up to you and say that was really cool or you're so funny.
Yeah, but I think also they don't know that I'm so. They're either overly polite or they're really just drunk and like I don't know. Mm. But the overly polite is like I always thought, oh, they're just like slinking away from me, but actually they're like assuming you have things to do, and it's like, this is it. This is my night. Like I would love to interact with you. Let's hang out. You're saying nice things to me. Let's talk.
Unless you've got to get back in a car and.
Unless I
got to
get in a car, but even then, come on. I make time for the people. All right. And thank you for your continued support.
I think my point on this matter is, don't be scared. The conversation might be a bit shit for a bit, but you can do it and you'll have fun.
Right, but here's my thing. I say, seen any good movies lately? Classic. Okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it sounds,
talk about TV.
Sounds like cliche, but I'll be honest with you. It'll get them. It'll send.
Or do you actually say that quite formally?
I do it a lot. I do it a lot with people. Yeah.
Really?
I don't really do it with the audience members. I should start trying it. It's great.
Yeah.
First of all, you learn things.
That question is quite, to just say it out of the blue, it's a bit forced.
Well, I don't just like seen any good movies? I don't like walk up without hello. Like his hand is out to shake. Hey, how you doing? I just like, you know, how's it going, man? Cool. All right. Have a coffee. So what's been going on? Seen any good movies lately? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you'll, you know, just watch what happens.
Smooth. But the funny thing is that the advice in these articles was very similar to the advice in The Game by Neil Strauss.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it just reminded me that.
What, are we all going to be negging each other now?
Yeah. It's like, ask questions about their life and take an interest while wearing a crazy hat, you know?
Right.
So
everyone's going to be out on the common peacocking and negging each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the least of our worries, okay?
Yeah. Just be thankful that we've got a vaccine and you can touch people.
I mean, like, when I go back into the real world, nothing's really going to change. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing anyway, which is, for the most part, avoiding people at all costs and doing my best not to get into random conversations with most of the population. But yeah.
My gripe is I can't talk about Corona anymore. I find that boring. I can't talk about it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's... I'd rather
there be silence than talk about Corona.
Well, because that's just... You might as well say, got any questionable beliefs that are going to anger me lately? You're just inviting... Like, it's... Because I used to do it, and it's just like...
Yeah.
You don't even want to know.
No, don't.
You know, I don't want to be that guy who's like, don't talk about politics. But, like, just... For the most, that's why movies is neutral.
Yeah.
Unless they're just like, yeah, I just watched this documentary on white power. And you're like, oh, okay. Have you seen Birth of a Nation? It's incredible.
What's Birth of a Nation?
But that's the other thing is you get a real gauge on people. Oh, it's like this racist movie. That's the thing. It's a race. This is why Birth of a Nation was a movie that came out in like the 20s. And it was about the Ku Klux Klan. Here's the thing I didn't know. The Klan... You know their whole outfit?
Yeah.
They're like white hoods and everything?
Yeah.
They got it from the movie.
Oh.
So the KKK is just cosplay. Like they might as well be dressed like Thor in Captain America.
Whoa.
Dressing like the guys in the movie.
Why did they dress them in the movie like that then?
I don't know. You'll have to ask D.W. Griffith.
Mm.
But, okay. Well, something we can all agree on. Zara, I think we can all agree on this. Our parents, what is with parents, okay, who do things that are not healthy, complain to us about their various ailments, and then when we recommend the most obvious guaranteed solution, they...
Don't do it.
They won't do it and just act like, no.
Don't do it, can't do it, won't do it, no.
Here's an example. Your mother, lovely, absolutely
wonderful
person. Like, I can just sit down with her, have breakfast, and like, there goes 2 hours because we're chatting. Like, honestly, if she was available if for any reason you can't do this podcast, like, your mom can absolutely sit in for you. It would be amazing. But Teresa, we know you're listening. She complains regularly of various things, headaches,
bad
migraines,
stomach, tiredness.
Right, right. And fun fact, she doesn't drink water.
Yeah. She talked me through her day. She's a nurse. She works on the ward. Right. She talked me through one day. What did you eat? What did you drink? Coffee, sandwich, pastry, coffee, pastry. Chocolate bar, coffee. I wonder why you feel sick, Mum.
Mum, drink some water. Nope. No, and then what do they say?
She goes, oh no, I don't like the taste of water.
Right. My mom asked me a long time ago, I want to lose some weight. Help me lose some weight. I had her go through what she eats. She said she likes to have tuna salads. I said, okay, well, easy fix. Don't put mayonnaise in the tuna. Use like something else like Greek yogurt. No, I like mayonnaise. Oh, sorry. What? Well, okay then. What are we doing here?
We have to make sacrifices.
My dad is regularly in pain the next day from going to the gym.
Yeah.
Doesn't stretch before he works out. Yeah. I said, Dad, why don't you do a little stretch? But here come the excuses. Like,
what are
you doing? I don't know. Well, the stretching hurts my muscles. Like, you're I'm telling you. But the thing is, they'll pursue other methods. Like they'll get like pills before they drink water.
Yes, exactly.
My dad will buy, you know, new equipment before he stretches. It's like...
My mum goes, I'm going to give up sugar, which is great. That'll probably help. But and she goes, oh, it's going to be really difficult because I love all my cakes and pastries. And I'm like, well, you could probably just keep eating the pastries if you just drunk some water. And she's like, no, no, I don't want to drink water. I said, the first thing you should do in the morning is drink some water because you've technically been dehydrated for 12 hours or whatever. She goes, oh, first thing in the morning, no. Like
I know, it's just like okay,
that
cool.
Is offensive, the taste of water?
But to be fair, like, you know what? Who are we to judge? Because they're in their golden years. I mean,
yeah.
So it's like, hey, if it's working for you, it's like...
But it's not working for them though, is it?
I guess not. But dude, there's people... Ill. I've told you about this. There's people on my mom's side of the family who are like... They live to be like 90 and these people freaking drink booze all day long. So... You know what? Who am I to judge? Honestly, once you've made it past 70, like, you know what? Do your thing.
Yeah.
I don't even care, man.
Yeah, because my mom was
go
like,
out,
I
do some
get,
crack. Like,
my mom was like,
get some heroin.
I should probably stop drinking wine. I was like, what's the point? You're 70. The
you
damage
do you.
Is done. Just carry
damage.
On.
Damage. No damage has been, I'll tell you that much. She's got a mind like a steel trap. That's right, Teresa. She does overplan travel a little bit, you know that, but hey, we had to catch a bus at 1. She recommended we maybe wake up at 7 a.m. There's nothing wrong with being prepared, Teresa. And yeah. we had a meeting about it.
Yeah.
The night before.
The night before, an executive meeting about what time we were going to wake up for this bus to take us to the station for our mega bus at 1 p.m.
That's right.
She wanted to leave at 6 a.m.
But we made that bus. One time I dropped your mom off at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
At 2 o'clock. Or no, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, yeah, your mom was over there before. I found out the flight was at like 9 at night. I was like, what?
Yeah, but it was long haul to India.
So yeah, but...
You have to get there like 3
this
hours
is just before. An example of how sweet your mom is. She didn't want to be a burden. So rather than hang out at our flat, she just sat at the airport for hours.
She did hang out at the flat for quite a bit, but I also think she just worried about... I don't actually mind getting to the airport early because there's lots to do. You can go for a meal, you can, you know... yeah,
God.
No, that 8 hours is
probably
too
much. I hate being
at
the airport. Not just the flying, just the whole... Once you're through that gate... You know, it's just 10-pound sandwiches.
Yes, but I much prefer that than feeling rushed like we did when we came back from California.
I don't know, man.
Because your buddy Nick had to...
Get in and get out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
We're late to get to the airport. We're halfway to Los Angeles. My friend turns around because he forgot his jeans at the comedy club.
I was so angry.
Why do you need your jeans? Well, he's going to a party that night, and they were, quote, his party jeans.
We almost didn't make that flight. It was very scary.
We almost didn't make that flight. Son of a bitch. Well, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Domestic Disputes. As always, if you could, please listen, rate the podcast, give it a 5-star review. You've done it. We thank you for that. There are 5-star ratings. You know, write a little review.
Yeah.
That's just for me. I like to see. Go write a little something if you want. But listen, I know you're busy, all right? You're being monitored by your company at work. and also share it if you can. Share it online. Tell a friend. Tell somebody. And if you have any topics that maybe you want to hear us talk about, message Zara on Twitter at Zara Berry, the number one, at Zara Berry one. We don't have a Twitter for the podcast yet, but you can get a hold of Zara. Trust me, is the best way. You can try me, but I'm telling you, you want to get a response, you go to Zara. She'll read it out to the both of us and we'll shout out to you on the episode. If we do your topic, we'd love to hear from you. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Zara.
Thank you.
See you around the flat and we'll see you next time.